reaction at the end of creation, and he said, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth on the earth." God made us special. He actually gave us some pretty special things to take care of, too. If we look at his creation, he told us to take care of the creation. He actually has given, in the New Testament, us the responsibility for making sure his desires are known. This morning, Matt's out of town at a singing event that they go to, and as elders, we thought it'd be a good time for us to kind of revisit our theme for the year, which is stepping up. And it's one of those things, I think, that as we look at it, one, your outline is going to be a little bit different. There will be no answers that flash across up here because, you know, honestly, when we start talking about stepping up, it depends on who we are, where we are, what we have, how we step up. However, it is not fair, not legal, and not good to walk out without something in the answers. It just has to be what you see in the answers. Actually, there will probably be an assignment at the end of the sermon to hopefully make sure that we all do get involved in stepping up. We're going to talk about three areas of how we can help, but I don't want to get it into church stuff and living stuff and family stuff. All those are involved. But really, if we're going to be going to heaven, it's how we handle personally our Christianity, our relationship to God, and how it affects us on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday morning, Monday night, anytime we're in, what's driving us. So hopefully, as we just present some things, nothing new, just refreshing, it will help us to come up to know how we're stepping up. God expects us in our Christian life to move. He expects us to improve as we go through life because that's maturity, that's experience, that's what's going on. So we have to. I think it is helpful for us to look at ourselves and say, hey, where am I on my journey? How am I doing in my journey? So we're going to be looking at some of those things with us. First thing that we're going to be looking at is worship, which is what we're doing right now. One of the things when we do it, let's talk about a couple of verses. One, Hebrews 10:25 tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some, but exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. This verse tells us we ought to be thinking about our worship today when? Yesterday, sometime before, because we're going to be exhorting others. We shouldn't get up this morning and say, ah, church morning. Hopefully we've already prepared for it. As we gave the verses that tells us about giving, we give as we've thought about it, as we purpose. So we have a thought process that we have to go. The other thing that we're taught in Matthew 22, Jesus said to the disciples, the person that asked him the great commandments, and he said, "You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." Now, we don't need to take that like it was given to the person asking the question. Jesus was given the answer to who? It's me. He's given me the answer of where he needs to be in his place. And as we come and as we worship him, we need to think about that. Now, the other frightening thing that I think we can kind of blow off a lot of times in Matthew 18:20, he tells us when two or three are gathered together, there I am in your midst. also, if we believe this rendering and what Jesus tells us, who's here? Isn't Jesus here right now? I think he's in the room. I think we sometimes think of him somewhere. He knows what I'm doing. He knows what I'm involved in, where my thought process is. He knows these things. If I knew that Jesus was sitting on this seat or this seat, would I act any different? If I could see him, if I could just look at him and say, wow, that's deity, would I act any different? Probably. I think as humans, we would act different. But he says, I'm in your midst. So how are we going to act if Jesus is in this room? What would our attitude be? If we saw him, would we be more reverent sometimes than maybe we are? I think we would do some of those things. Back in one of my experiences I worked for the state for a while, and I was in a meeting one day when the governor came in, and it was, I don't know whether, back then, if the governor walked in the room, you know what everybody did? They stood. I mean, you stood up. There were about 300 people who stood up, and when he got to, sat down. When he left, you know what everybody did? They stood up. Now, that was out of respect for somebody in there. How should we, as human, treat God this morning while we're worshiping him in the room? And I think it helps us. If we believe he's in here, how are we going to wind up being focused? And as we sing songs, who are we singing the songs for? Are we singing them for God? Now, we need to be into it. We need to be with the song leader as they've picked out appropriate songs, and we're singing those songs with that. We need to pray with meaningful words to God. I appreciate Jeff's prayer this morning. It's one of the things, I'll give you a little thing just as an elder that sometimes you kind of look at. Sometimes there are prayers where people thank God for the elders and for the good work they do. And that's appreciated. That's a thing. But be careful doing too much of that, because it'd give me and Charlie a big head maybe if we start thinking, hey, we're too good. By the way, who knows how good of a job we're doing already? God knows. I mean, he kind of knows. But if we go back and think about the prayer that Jeff shared with us this morning, he asked for God's guidance to be with elders. We need God's guidance and his wisdom. I mean, we really need that. Seldom is there a meeting that we ever have together that's not part of the prayer that we have. But we need that as a group. But Jesus is sitting here. Deity is with us in this room. And as we remembered that death, did we hold it personal that he died for my sins? And it's just one of those things, every time we do this, we need to think about it. I think we have to think about interruptions in service. We're in the service. We've done real good. Seldom do we ever have a cell phone go off. I'm old enough to remember Aunt Rufus and I were talking about the other day when we were growing up courting, we didn't have cell phones. Laura and I had a full-party line on my end of the phone and a two-party on the other, and we were shared communication. But now we've come down to where we have cell phones. We usually turn them off. Well, really, we turn them so they don't do what? Don't want them ring. So we turn them on silent. But all right, how many of us have ever had that familiar tinkle on our leg where we had it in our pocket and somebody sent us a message? And what's the temptation to do? I'll give you Bradley's temptation. Oh, man, who in the world could that be? And then if I'm not careful, I'm sneaking it out of pocket so nobody can see me. So, in effect, I'm saying, hey, God, let's take a break. I've got to check this out and see how important it is. God, you're in this room, but I got to check what somebody sent me on my phone right now. What did I just do to God? Wow. Is that disrespectful? And just an illustration of this, one of the things, if I'm not careful, do. So as we look at these things, we need to be careful. All right, so I'll throw another one out that sometimes we have to, do we ever just have to get up and leave? I don't know, started to ask Chris one time, say, how many folks do we go out with in their town? Someone said, oh, this, we have to be careful as we get up and leave. Because what happens when we walk out? Well, whoever we have to step over gets diverted, depending on how far down the front we are. A lot of people look at us and go, and it just distracts us. Now, I know there are times that we have to get up and we have to go. There are also times that sometimes we just get in a habit that says, okay, we're at this point in the service, I got to go to the bathroom, or I got to go get a drink of water, or I have to do that. When we're in this room, and if we really, really, really could see Jesus get there, could we hold it? Would we stay in the room, or would we say, I'll be back in a while, Jesus. I'm going to come back. So we need to think as we're going through our religious things that we need that Jesus is here, and he wants us to step up. I would encourage you when we're here, and this is one of the things I think that gets involved a lot of times with church and where we go, listen a whole lot more to the message than the messenger. Sometimes if we get involved on, okay, we'll go home and we'll critique who the messenger is, the important part is not who's talking about. The important part is not me today. The important part is what Jesus tells us, and we need to look at it because that's what's going to improve us as we go down the line. It's just things step up. So I think for us, each of us, where we are, what are we doing in our worship service to God? Now, I'm going to say something, and don't take it maybe like it may sound. Actually, our worship service is a small percentage of our time that we spend in service to God. And if we make it the major thing that we're doing, and we're guiding by everything that we're doing by the hour we spend here this morning, and we're telling God, this is it. You know, this is my service to God. Now, this is my worship period to God. As a Christian, he wants me here, but this is not my Christian experience. And as we step up, there are a lot of other places that we do need to step up and work in areas. So I want us to look at another thing, and that's step up in service to God. And, you know, God tells us in Matthew 25, well, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to see me. Now, number one, out of being hungry, thirsty, strangers, that one could involve being here, naked, sick, in prison, those all happen where? Outside of this area. So he's telling us a whole lot more. This is where he's explaining what's seen to us. This is a judgment scene. I do not notice in here where he said, you worship me an appropriate number of times and you get to go to heaven. It's not in there. But he does say, because we were Christians actually out involved in doing things, that was recognized as something that was good towards us heaven. Now, if we're doing those things and we're bought into Christianity, we're not going to be here because he tells us to go do that. We're going to be here because we want to, because we're near God and we're going to be working with him. He also tells us in Matthew 22, which is the second thing of the first commandment we talked about, that we're to love our neighbor as ourself. So he's telling us that we need to do good things to people that we know in the world. And as we look at where we are in our life, what have we done recently for other people? Now, I can't answer that question for anybody but myself, and probably know what Laurel's done most of the time too. We could have that conversation on what we've done. Have we just been nice to people now? Do you ever go to the store? Love getting old and gray-headed now, and I love parents that train the kids right. Man, you can go to Cracker Barrel. We never have to open a door to Cracker Barrel anymore. Somebody sitting in, the kids opening the door, somebody and saying, y'all come in first. I love it. What are they doing when they do that? Just being nice. Just having a nice attitude. Being pleasant when we meet people. Have we taken any food to anybody that needs food? We have people that at times do need food. Charlie was having to buy a lot of Burger Kings, and I know they, while Sharon was down, they needed food. Charlie doesn't know how to cook anywhere but the firehouse, I think. He wasn't real good at home. Now, we just need to be aware of what can we do for other people. Now, we have tons of people that do tons of work, and we're not saying that we don't, that this is not saying we do a bad job. But any kind of job we're doing, we look at our lives and say, how can I step up to the next step? Because God wants us, as we mature, to get better and better and better. And if we don't do that, if we don't look at it, we don't know where we go. Are there other things we can do? Can we give a ride? Let's just talk about, again, that would be tied to the assembly. Dennis mentioned in his announcement this morning that we got a VBS going on next week. Tons of stuff going on here. How did the kids get here? How will our kids get here, hopefully? Who's going to bring them? Mom and Dad. What about other kids that may need a ride? Could we furnish a ride for somebody? Now, it's not a big thing, but could we ask a neighbor? Could we just check with somebody that comes in? When we get here, can we be nice to people, particularly if somebody's visiting and their kid's here? Should we be nicer to a five-year-old that's visiting with us or to their mom and dad who are visiting with us? Who should we be nicer to? I would contend we need to be nice to both of them. We need to be involved, and how do we do that? We just meet folks. Now, we have a challenge here. I would suspect that we've had people who visit here a lot and a good while that may be over in this church, that this church members have never met the people in this church. What does it take for somebody over here to meet somebody over here, particularly if they're new? What does that take? If Billy Tanner sees a new person who walked in and he wants to be nice to him, and Billy sees him sitting over here, and it might be Larry Shaw, but he's the first time Larry walked in. So whose job is it for Billy to know who that is? But he's got to walk over there and do it. He's got to take the effort. He's got to open his eyes and say, hey, I got to go do that. It's just part of the thing. Is that service? I think it is, because it's being nice. It's interacting with people. It's being involved. It's just stepping up and saying, hey, we're there. If we have new members that come in, whose job is it to help the new members get to know the old members? Is it their job to run up and say, hi, I'm so-and-so, and I'm a new member here? Or is it ours to make the effort to talk to them and meet them and make them part of the family and learn things about them? Not hard to do. Third thing, this really has, I think, the crux of where our Christianity is going to be. This is talking about in Second Peter 1:5-8. For this very reason, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brother kindness, and to brother kindness love. It doesn't have really anything. That command is not given to Jackson Heights. That command is not given to folks. That command is given to Bradley Duggar. That command is given to Wayne Bolin. And it's given to us on how we grow. How do we grow our faith? how do we know that God is my Savior? If I know in my mind that God is my Savior on Thursday morning, on Friday night, I ain't going nowhere else Sunday morning because I'm going to go be with God to worship Him. If I know that's going to drive me, so how do we build our faith? How do we do that? He does tell us that we work on the inside of us. He tells us to be diligent to present ourselves approved to God, a worker that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we got to know the word of God. We have to know the word of God, and we spend time in it. But God has given us other things, and I think one of the reasons He gave us dominion over the world is that world proves the huge greatness of God and what He's done. Again, it's just kind of interesting. In today's world, we talk a lot about DNA, and we talk about things and how science has come, and we're real proud of the fact that we've learned all that stuff. It's really good, and that is pretty, I think it's pretty impressive. Suddenly, in today's world, with today's science, we're able to catch criminals from 20 years ago because we've learned it. But if we're not careful, who gets the credit for that? Boy, the scientists, aren't they smart? Look what we've done. Okay, God said, here's the creation, you use it. Who made it is a whole lot more impressive than who's figured out how it works. Now, we've always kind of known things like that. When Laura and I were talking, I said, you know, when we grew up, and the thing he's talking about, if you saw some kid acting like mom and dad, the apple didn't fall far from the tree. We really didn't know what it was. But now we figured out the reason kids act like parents is, you know, DNA kind of drives these traits in it. We have those things where we look at it. 2 weeks, we're on 2.5 weeks. In our reading program, we're going to be reading the last part of Job. I really, really, really encourage you, even if you're behind, jump in when it gets that time to be reading the last chapters with Job, when Job and God start having their conversation with each other. And just look at the things that God reveals to Job about His creation. And, you know, Job's kind of feeling bad, and God just starts asking him questions that probably Job never really figured out the importance. But now, as we've gone, we understand what we mean in the highways of the seas, and we understand all of those things that God says, not because we're smart, because they've been revealed. He tells us to do that. I believe if we spend time with this animal kingdom and we see things like that, we can see God exists. It's the thing that really just kind of hangs us, but we have to spend time, and I think we just have to think about it every day. Do we pick a time out on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday when we spend some time? It's in prayer, it's in meditation, it's just thinking about God. Just thinking about God. What He does in my life, what He is in my life. Pick some time where we just think about it and we look at His creation. And as that faith builds, everything else will build and go with us. It'll go. We'll wind up stepping up in it. It's just a process that we go through. So, we talked about this. What's the assignment? I think if we're ever going to have a challenge and do anything, I'd say, well, okay, we have the paper, and we have three things to put an answer on the paper. So the challenge is everybody in the room ought to fill the answers out. Maybe before you even get home, think about it, get home. However, I challenge you at lunch today, whoever you're eating lunch with, if they're from here, have a challenge. Heather, ask your dad what he filled out. Ah, Jeff, ask Heather what she filled out. Let's have some accountability as we go in, because we can go out and say, well, that was a lousy lesson, that was a good lesson, or there were some good thoughts. But if we don't ever do anything with it, it doesn't. But if we would put these down and say, you know, I, Bradley, can make my worship better by. And if I tell Laurel that today, when I come to worship and I don't do that, what can she do? She can either give me the look or the elbow. I mean, we can do that. And I'll tell you, as I was thinking about this, I have convinced myself that it's really important as elders that you need to know who all's here, you need to know what's going on. And if I'm not really careful, and I'm not very careful most of the time in that, I can sit down and I get worried about more who's in the seats. And I start looking at seats and I wonder where they are, why they're not here, and they're doing all that. And who am I ignoring? I'm doing this worship service. Who am I ignoring when I do all that? Jesus is in the room with us. And if I'm distracted, now, see, I'm saying, well, that's a noble cause. I'm, as an elder, I'm responsible for whether somebody's here or not. As a Christian, I'm responsible when we're worshiping God to do what? Worship God. And I have to be careful not to let that stuff get in. So, as an illustration, that's what's on my number one. I'm not going to tell you my number two and number three. Although if you want to talk about it afterwards, we'll talk about it. But if we can look at those things and see, I truly believe by saying that, if next Sunday morning Doug sees me looking around, gawking around, I know Doug well enough, he's going to mention to me, why were you not paying attention during worship to what we need to? Now, that's what we're looking at to make ourselves better. Our goal is to step up each day in stronger faith, not worrying about tomorrow. In fact, we're looking forward to eternity tomorrow. That's what we're looking for, is eternity. And we want it to be that way, and then that's when everything's going to be good, and our faith won't have to step up at that time. It's going to be complete because we'll be in eternity with Him. Think about these. Fill your homework assignment out. I'll be checking with some tonight. Just make sure we did, just for the fun of it. I can guarantee you I'm probably going to say something to Heather and Jeff because I've already called them out on that. So we can do it, but it wouldn't hurt for us all to talk about that. If in our Christian journey, if we have people here today in our Christian journey that you need to step up and say, I need to get better with God, I need to freshen my journey. If we can help you this morning on doing anything like that, we'd be glad to do so. If you'd let us know right now, and we'll be singing a song.